This morning, as you look upon the screen, our message today is the parable of the net or the dragnet, continuation of the series of our parables. And many of you who like to fish or go fishing, you can relate to this, but many of us don't use the nets or dragnets, or as some of them are seines, they call them. We use fishing rods, singular or plural. I mean, I have seen some people fish with both hands, and Brenda has that capability of using two rods at the same time, where I do good to use one and be accurate and catch fish. But this parable here this morning is very important for the church. And it included the disciples and those of that day who, that was their profession. Many of those, the disciples, they were fishermen. And Jesus kind of switched the role on them, saying, still being just fishermen of fish, you're going to be fishermen of men. And that's a carryover to the church today, our lives. And the better we understand these parables and each one, like this one this morning, the parable of the net or dragnet, better we will understand our responsibility as a church to go after the people in our community or in our world, the people around us. So, if you will follow along with me as I read, first of all, beginning with verse 47 in Matthew chapter 13, the scripture goes like this, and this is the dragnet. Again, the kingdom of heaven, this is how Jesus starts each one of them. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea, and gathering fish of every kind. Now, think about that, of every kind, just not selective, just not bass or walleye or salmon or something like that, of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish into the containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteousness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, there is so much information in these few verses that as I was studying, and this morning I would say, well, let's just look at verse 47 this morning, and we'll look at verses 48 through 50 next Sunday. So I'll make this part one this morning, and want us to focus on what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about the catching fish and responsibilities of that. So today we're looking at the parable of the dragnet, and to understand what the dragnet or net is in the biblical time, in relative to our time, as we call it a seine, but Jesus called it a dragnet, and it's what we know as the seine. And it's a large net which has corks at the top, weights at the bottom, so it stands, as it were, upright in the sea. Now, I have seen those. I've gone deep sea fishing before, and I've seen boats, shrimp boats and other boats out throwing these big nets, and I've seen them go down, and they have the corks at the top and the weights at the bottom, and they sink down, and they catch massive amount of fish. So this is what this is referring to. And then the ropes attached to the four corners draw it through the sea, and as it's drawn, it forms a comb-shaped cavity into which it sweeps up all the fish, all the creatures in the sea. So again, today we will discover how the dragnet is symbolic to the kingdom of heaven. And that's why Jesus said at the very beginning here in verse 47, again, the kingdom is of heaven is like a dragnet. And we will learn that just as a dragnet sweeps up all kinds of creatures, the kingdom of heaven contains all types of people. And when did that start? Back from the very beginning with Adam and Eve and all the generations of those who were born under different generations of leaders. That's what it talks about, the kinds of people. Meaning that God isn't picky about who enters heaven. As long as they have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the must. And in the latter verses that we saw here, it was talking about those that are good, means those who accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, but those who do not, it says they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They will be cast aside. So it is, Jesus said it is our responsibility to go out to all kinds of people of the world. Whether or not they accept Jesus Christ, we are still to go after them and share the gospel. And that's the instruction that Jesus was giving the disciples. So we also will be viewing a passage from John chapter 21. And this particular chapter talks about when Jesus had risen from the grave. He was on the earth for 40 days, and he went about showing himself to people, showing that he had risen from the grave. But the disciples, they were still in an array, and they were still searching in their minds and their thoughts about Jesus and what was really taking place after the resurrection. So Peter said, I'm going fishing. The other disciples around and said, well, we'll just go with you. We don't have anything else to do. So this chapter 21 will be dealing with that. So now, let's look at verse 47 where it says, where are we casting? And a lot of times the disciples, they would cast out their nets and it would come up empty. And if Jesus was around, he would say to them, cast out on the other side and you will find fish. And when they did that, they found fish. They did what Jesus said and they were very successful. So sometimes that's what the churches are to do. We don't find fish or people in one area, then we cast our nets somewhere else and wait for God's moving in their lives and through our ministries. So we see here in this verse, verse 47, that the work of the kingdom, we need to gather some of every kind. And this parable reveals that one cannot select his fish, but must expect a mixed catch. And so the fishers of men must be prepared to cast into the nets widely over the whole field of human society. And that's why Jesus said you start in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and in all most parts of the world. And the mission of Jesus involving the undiscriminating appeal of men of every class and type. You know, Jesus is not picky. He is not picky. We should not be picky either. And no church should be picky. Society is open. God loves the little children, all the children of the world. What's the song? Red, yellow, black, and white. They were precious in his sight. So that is what Jesus says, be fishermen of men. Now, so Jesus calls us to witness to everyone everywhere. Now, in Mark's version of the Great Commission, We read that Jesus said, go into what? All the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, Mark used the word creature. So we are creatures, right? We're creatures of habit. So in Mark, he used the word creature. Mark 15:16. And then in Matthew version, we read, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And that's Matthew 28:19. Now in the Greek word nation, ethne, that's the Greek word, which is where we get the word ethnic. That's the word which pertains to groups of people. And that comes about by sharing common and distinctive culture, religions, or languages. So when we do not reach those of different race, nationalities, religion, or income level, then we are being disobedient to the Great Commission. And the Great Commission was given to Jesus right before he ascended into heaven. This was something greatly upon Jesus' mind, because he had been teaching disciples, he had been teaching the multitudes of people, followers, that when he ascended back to the Father, that they had a great, awesome responsibility to reach out. And that's why Jesus came into this world, to die for all mankind. That's why John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So in John 21 now, we see what Jesus has said about where and how to cast a net. And Simon Peter said, again, if you go back to chapter 21, read this chapter sometime today, chapter 21. It will just grab you and entice you to meditate and reflect upon what is taking place here. Sometimes we get discouraged. We don't see things happening. Peter and the disciples, they were still discouraged, even though Jesus had shown himself and they had seen him. They were still unsure of what was still going on until they saw Jesus ascend into heaven. But Peter said, I'm going fishing. And the other disciples said to him, we're going with you. And they went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. They fished all night. How many of you fished at night? Okay, some of you. Well, Brenda and I, when we lived in Tennessee, we did it on the weekend. We fished at night. We go out in the afternoon, we'd fish, we didn't catch anything. We said, well, let's just fish tonight. We'll put our lights out, we'll fish a walleye, whatever bite. And we would catch more fish sometimes at night than we would in the daytime. So we'd cast out one side or the other side, and then daybreak we would go home. So they didn't catch anything. They didn't catch any fish. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said to them, and he knew, hey children, did you catch any fish? What was their answer? No. We didn't. We didn't catch anything. And he said to them, cast your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they did. And now they were not able to pull in their net. Isn't that amazing? Jesus was on the shore, had a fire going. He was cooking fish. And Simon Peter and the other disciples, they got into the boat and headed out onto the sea and go fishing. That's what this chapter is about. And in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus referred to Peter as fisherman of men. Now, I want to read what Matthew chapter 4, verses 18, what it says. Jesus is saying here, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon and called Peter, and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Okay, this fishing trip that Peter and the disciples embarked upon was actually symbolic of them being fishermen of men. This is where Jesus introduced to them, okay? Yes, you had this profession. You did well. You're trained. You have a skill. Now I want you to use that skill for a better purpose in your life. Instead of being fishermen of fish, you're going to be fishers of men. You're going to be reaching souls for the kingdom of God. And that's what is this dragnet, parable of the dragnet, is all about. The kingdom of God. Bringing people to Jesus Christ. And Jesus used many different ways to teaching the people of that day. And as we continue that teaching of bringing people in to the kingdom of God by our witness, by our ministry, by just telling people one-on-one or in corporate worship services like this, we're sharing the gospel. And you know, it's not our responsibility of the result. It's our responsibility to just be faithful and do what Jesus commanded disciples through the Great Commission to tell people about Jesus Christ. There's many things in this world that are very important and we're all involved in each day of our lives. And God has given us the abilities to reach people in some way, in different ways, but through the church and through our testimony as Christians, we are to reach out to people who are lost, who are headed down wrong paths, in order to show them the true God, the true Father of all creation. Last night, I FaceTimed my grandson, you know, Jonathan. He lives in Minnesota. And he wants me to tell him a Bible story every night. I mean, not J-Mo. I'm sorry, Jameson, yes, Kim's son. He's 9 years old, but he wants me to tell him a Bible story. So I tell him a Bible story through FaceTiming him. And right now we're on Samson. And I already told Samson a week or so ago, but then he said, hey, Papa, tell me some more about Samson. I like that man. I like that guy. He was a strong guy, wasn't he? I said, yes, he was. He was the strongest man in the world. And he said, I don't understand. But how did he get his strength through his hair? I said, well, it wasn't his hair. It's just the symbolic of the power of God working through this man. And because he was Ethanite, so he couldn't, you know, eat certain things, he couldn't touch certain things. He just had to live a holy and righteous life. And so he was just so enthused about Samson, and he wanted to hear about him again. So you see, that's how God works through our lives, and he works through us, and he worked through disciples and the prophets back then to get his kingdom fulfilled. So Peter was soon to become the leader of the New Testament. And this is where this is going. The church, after Jesus ascended into heaven, he was to become the head steward of apostleship, directing their ministry and efforts according to the power of the Holy Spirit, guiding them in their lives. So in the New Testament, the word steward, that's a very important word, stewardship. That's using our talents and our gifts, directing the things that we do in the right way. And this word, English word, steward, is translated, the Greek means captain of a ship. So here Peter was a captain of the ship. Therefore, Peter would be, in essence, becoming the captain of the newly emerging apostatic church. And that's what Jesus was setting Peter up to see, that, hey, from this time on, you're not just going to be fishing for fish. You're going to be fishing and reaching men for Jesus Christ. Now, so, the captain was one who knew the experience and ways of the sea and could perform all diverse duties on a ship and could set and keep a true course and assume responsibility for the welfare of the ship's passengers and cargo. That's what the captain of the ship. So Peter was going to be the captain of those and leading other disciples and leading in the lead of reaching souls for Christ. He was going to be working with other disciples and other people, leading them and showing them how to reach people for Christ. So in our story, found right here in John chapter 21, Peter was a captain of his small fishing boat, and he was responsible for determining when, where, how the net was to be cast in order to yield the greatest catch. Now, in verse 3, we read how they went out to catch and they caught no fish at night. There was nothing wrong with a little nighttime fishing. Nothing wrong with that. But keep in mind that what we see here is a spiritual reference. Now, when we look at certain things in the Bible, we think, well, what's going on here? Is this something physically? But Jesus was teaching them a physical, spiritual experience. And they didn't just cast their nets at night, but they were casting into the darkness. That's what they were doing, which can be applied to how those without Christ are being presently living in spiritual darkness. And we need to make sure that we are going out into the darkness, or going out into the world in order to find those who are lost in sin. And that's what light over darkness means. Jesus came into this world to give us light, the light of the kingdom of God. And because of sin in the world, that's why the Word of God refers to darkness, and darkness refers to sin. And there's so many in this world that's headed down that path today. And so we are to shed the light of Jesus Christ. We are to lighten up our community with the light of Jesus Christ and show them light over darkness, life over sin. And that is Jesus Christ. So the disciples fished all night long and caught nothing. And since fishing trip represented something happening in a spiritual level, we can conclude that they caught no fish that night because something was not right in their hearts. And now, when I say wasn't right in their hearts, something wasn't settled in their heart. Here, Jesus had risen from the grave, and yet it just still didn't relate, or they couldn't respond to what had taken place. So they were still struggling in their own lives. Yes, we're fishermen, so let's go back to do what we know to do. Now Jesus is turning this into a spiritual thing about them fishing for men, which would change their hearts and lives forever. See, that's what Jesus does in our life. He changes our hearts. He changes our ways. He changes our mind. He changes our thinking about what He wants us to be involved in. one of us are involved in some way in reaching people for Christ through our actions, through our witness, our testimony. And that's how Jesus uses our personality in reaching people, because he knows our hearts. So the disciples were down. They were down about the death of Jesus. They were still doubted his power and had trouble believing he was really alive and well. Therefore, they were casting, and this is why I say they were casting the net of doubt. That's what was going on with the disciples. And this is the reason why they hauled in nothing that night. Jesus was proving a point to the disciples, you know. They can do nothing without. We can do nothing without Christ. And in John chapter 15, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And we can't, can we? We can't witness without the Lord. We cannot witness without the Holy Spirit. I was thinking back on when the disciples were with Jesus today. They was going about doing good, teaching, healing people from different varices of illnesses. This man came to the disciples and said, can you heal my son? And the disciples, they placed their hands on this young boy, but nothing happened. He still remained ill and sick. And the father came so discouraged, he left the disciples and he went to Jesus and he said, can you heal my son? And Jesus said, can I? If I can. And Jesus went to this young man and he touched him, and it was instantly he was healed. And the disciples, they witnessed this. And after the man and his young boy walked away and went their way rejoicing because the young man had been healed, disciples came to Jesus and said, what happened? Why couldn't we do this? And Jesus looked at the disciples and said, only can this be done through prayer and fasting. Reminding the disciples, you did yesterday was yesterday, but what you do today is not on your own power. You've forgot to pray and seek the power of God in this action. And they never forgot that. And that's what we do. We don't witness in our own power. We don't share Jesus Christ in our own power. We don't cast our nets out on our own power. But we pray, first of all, and say, Lord, you lead in this. We cannot do this alone. When I witness, I don't witness unless I pray, first of all, saying, God, give me the words. Give me the wisdom. Give me the understanding. Prepare the heart that I'm witnessing to. If they're ready, then let your power save them through Jesus Christ. If they're not ready at this point, understand, may I be able to sow the seed that will open up their hearts, that will take root and start growing. And you see, that's what Jesus is teaching here in Matthew and Mark and John chapter 21. And in this book, about casting our nets. I can do all things which through Christ who what? Was that our scripture for today? Yes, it was. We can't do anything on our own strength. But I can do all things through Christ who does what? Strengthens me. Absolutely. Well, this morning, in conclusion, if we doubt, we will always lose sight of Jesus Christ and his guidance provided by the Holy Spirit, and we will wind up fishing in the wrong place. So in John 21, 4 through 6, we see how the disciples were blinded to who Jesus was. They were blinded, and they didn't realize him. Nevertheless, they still obeyed whenever he directed them to cast on the right side of the boat. And when they followed the instructions, then it says they were unable to pull up the net because of the weight. Now, I'm going to give you a quiz today, okay? You don't have to tell me today unless you already know. And this is the only time that I can find in scriptures where there's a number of fish that was caught at any given time. How many fish was in the net? Anybody know how many fish was in this net? My translation says 153. So you were close, Beth. Good for you. Yes. 153 fish. Now, this is the only place in the Bible that I can find that it gives an exact number of fish. Most of the time, it's multiple of fish in the net. But here in John, he clarified it. I guess they counted them out. one by one. Now, why 153? I don't know, but that's what, I believe it's verse 11, John 21:11. If you look that up today, if I'm wrong, you let me know, okay? Some of the time I'm wrong, right, Vicki? Not very often, okay. But, yeah, but it's astounding that how God works in our lives, and he wants to work in every one of our lives, reaching people for Christ. There's a song, People Need Jesus, right? And we help people find Jesus through our witness, through our ministry. I really like this particular parable here because it gives us God's insight of the love he has for the world, for his kingdom. He's still building his kingdom. And one of these days when his kingdom is complete, when he comes back again, splits the eastern sky, and comes down to collect the church, the kingdom, then that's when the last person that's going to hear the gospel will be saved. Not until then. So we have our work cut out for us, continually reaching people for Christ. May we pray. Our Father God, thank you for this message today. Thank you, Lord, that you make it real to us through your scriptures. And sometimes we may not understand everything, but as we continue to study and search your scripture, your Holy Spirit helps reveal the truth to us. And that's what it's all about. Our willingness to get into the scriptures and read. And that's the responsibility of your Holy Spirit to teach us. And the only way we can learn is by reading and studying and having that desire and motivation to know all we need to know how to carry out your great commission. And Lord, may renew a new spirit within us today. Renew, as David said in Psalms 51, renew a new spirit in me that I might be able to reach souls for Christ. That's what he says. Because he had a hunger for you, Lord. And maybe we have a greater hunger for you as we follow your guidance and your leading in our personal life and the life of the church. It's your church. And we are to help grow your kingdom. May that be your desire become our desire as you work in and through our lives to complete your kingdom. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.